time of execution of the warrant. A law enforcement officer who's a member of the law enforcement agency authorized in the warrant to intercept communications shall execute the warrant according to its terms.
Where are you going?
The law enforcement agency shall cease eavesdropping immediately upon termination of the authorization of the warrant. Will then remove or permanently inactivate any installed eavesdropping device as soon as practicable. Entry by law enforcement agency upon a private place of premises for the removal or permanent inactivation of the devices authorized as the warrant.
That's for inactivation.
And the law enforcement agency shall, if possible, record on tape, wire, or other comparable device the contents of a communication intercepted. The recording of the contents shall be done in a way that will protect the recording from editing or other alteration.
Oh, that's a dandy little section.
This raises a question that was raised previously, section 14, and it's as to section 8, which Jim Burns is talking about. And I'm more thinking about it, the more I wonder, does section 8 and section 14 authorize a criminal trespass on an area other than the area in which the prospective defendant or person whose communications are being intercepted might be? In other words, if my house is connected with someone else's house who is subject to warrant, could they come in my house surreptitiously and place a bug?
Sure could.
Which, in this...
Well, I don't think that's the intent.
Well, the language is, an express authorization to make a secret entry upon a private place or premises to install an eavesdropping device. That's all it says. Not that that premise is the one in which the communicating device is, whether it be a telephone or whatever it might be, is located or anything else. It's
okay,
wide
Judge
open...
Burns, answer that.
Come in and have a ball.
I took him out and bought him two beers. And I bought his lunch and it didn't do a damn thing. I feel all over my back about it.
I hope you're pointing to Professor Platt.
Yeah.
For the record.
For the record.
For the record.
Should have bought him six beers.
But isn't it kind of a broad authorization?
I was holding out for that. That's why it didn't do any good.
But that gives a right to go upon the premises of the telephone company, their wire station, central service wire station, and install a tap surreptitiously.
Surreptitiously? I think, Mr. Chairman, that the...
Don't put that up.
Intent here, and perhaps we need to spell it out some more, is that the authorization of the entry is limited to the premises or place which has been described earlier in the application. That is the description of the location and nature and location of the facilities from which or the place where the communication is being intercepted in section 12.
Well, I think we should go back to this area and correct that, because did anyone feel that this authorized the entry into someone else's home?
No. I would feel it would. If the court, the wording and language of the statute, if the court specifically authorized, for instance, take a motel where you think a transaction is going to occur, and you can't get into that motel because it's being guarded, and you have an eavesdropping device that you can insert into the wall of the room adjacent, I think the court, under the language of the statute, could give you specific authority to go into that adjacent motel.
I think it could. I think you're right. But was it your intent that... that be done. How about a private home? Duplex. One family living in one and the suspected person in the adjoining one. Could they go into the... Do you think they should? I think that we should clarify that.
14.
14 or 12?
Well, should it be there?
Or should it be in 12?
Probably should be in both. 12 and 12 on that.
Well, we can't.
No, I'm not. I'm shocked that you're not shocked about going into the guy's place. That's considered winning. Well, that's just an offshoot of it, I think.
Why, you can go into anybody's place with a search warrant. You can get a search warrant, you go in.
But they know you're there, though.
Well, correct, yeah, that's a search warrant.
Nobody knows you're there when the judge tells you
where it is. But not some innocent third party.
Oh, well, I'm not. George is saying you're not.
He's saying George.
The same way that.
A righteous indignation.
The actual defendant.
George wants us to go up and say, Mr. Lucky Luciano, we're going to put a tug in your house.
Yes.
Don't you want it?
Roger, can you make some appropriate language?
Well, you notice in section 11, when these warrants can be issued under 5, one of the charges is probable cause to believe that, for example, the place where the communications are to be intercepted is commonly used by the described person. Taking all these together, because this is based more on the New York approach than it is spelled out specifically in the federal statute, I think at least in New York they intended to grant authority to trespass in any place, public or private place, to install these devices.
Without the knowledge of the owner of the premises. Well, I don't know. I think that's not the right way.
Well, pricing, Chairman.
Me too.
That.
That's
I think that you should be required to get express authorization to go into the premises that you're going to put the bug in. Like, and it's.
The thing is,
they shouldn't be authorized to go into somebody else's premises.
Well, I agree.
If he goes there, then what he receives is. What could you do if you wanted? If you wanted, you didn't have the right to get a warrant, a search warrant, or a right to intercept communications on a person you're really interested in, but there was someone nearby that you had, you could get the warrant on. So you go in the private house. Place the bug, make your investigation, and come back, and then charge that private owner with the crime you're really trying to find.
Well, we got a problem, don't we? Other than the motel situation,
yeah.
Don pointed out. I mean, I recognize the situation there, as opposed to the private dwelling. Is what we're talking about.
Or you have a lot of times these conversations will occur in somebody's office
somewhere in between.
And whereas that person who owns that office, they now have
this is an attorney client.
you have the duplex situation. If you wanted the other house,
right.
You wouldn't ordinarily be able to get a search warrant there anyway because you have no probable cause to search that premises.
But you may want to go there.
Yeah, because that's where you want to install the bug.
Well, I think we'd be better off to require the consent of any premises. Where they aren't the suspected people are involved.
Well, I'd be interested in hearing what the judge.
Well, the thing that bothers me about both adopting it or drafting it or amending it is that I dare say there are few of us here that are aware of the various technical possibilities that modern science has provided for. Used to be, I know this. To be somewhat familiar with these problems during the period of 56, 57, and so on. Used to be that technically you had to put it on the phone instrument in the room or the office or whatever, but I understand that's no longer necessary nowadays. That there's a variety of places where you can actually attach the instrument, or even in some cases, maybe no physical attachment is necessary. And I think I feel inadequate to make a determination about this, really.
Can I ask the judge a question?
Yes.
I raised the point, but
with the subsection 8 and section 14, would there be a, so you said, I'd like to go up and, I think all this is transpiring, it's transpiring. 617 Corbin Building in Portland, Oregon, who happens to be an office occupied by Paul Alphonis. He's not the person involved, but the office is involved there, and communication was involved in there. So we'd like to tap this. And I'm saying I'm with my client. Is there a protection?
Well,
I mean, there's the privilege. I think of attorney-client privilege, but does it extend to that?
The premise is commonly used by the person described.
Yeah, but commonly has already been demonstrated by the Supreme Court of the State of Oregon. It means one time. Common prosecutor is doing it one time, right?
No, they reverse them.
Well, under certain circumstances.
All in the eyes of the law.
What's that have to do with Hollis, huh?
We're just lying.
We do so.
Nothing, unfortunately.
It's just his office.
It's in section 8 of section 14, page 11. And express authorization.
Oh, section.
What privilege?
Page 11, section 14.
Sub C of one.
Subsection what?
I don't
know.
8. An express authorization makes secret entry upon a private place or premises to install an eavesdropping device if entry is necessary to execute.
Is there a specific privilege of some nature? I was thinking, like, when I go up to Rocky Butte or when I go up to the jail in Multnomah County, and I'm sitting there with a cell talking to a client, you get the Amanda sensation, why am I sitting here talking to him here? Is there a privilege?
Yes, I believe
even
so.
If
I think there
overheard?
Are cases directly in point involving jails, conversations between attorney and client in jail, and the privilege extends to that area. I can't tap that. But I'm not a...
But in the office, gee, a lot of windfall.
Wouldn't we be saying into this that the same principle applies? Suppose the police say, look, we think that so-and-so is an escaped convict would be coming in next to our house. We're going to enter your house. We watch out the window. I don't know. Under any suspicion, I don't know. Wouldn't we be applying the same principle that you can get a warrant that says the police can enter my house to detect criminal activity in the neighboring house? I'm not. Isn't it the same principle?
Well, can you get a warrant to do that?
No, you can't. That's what I'm getting at. So, are we saying, suppose there's a listening device that they can. They can actually pick up sound signals 200 feet with. I don't think they've got anything that's good yet. Suppose they develop something. Say, we want to stick it in the side of your house. I think they should have to have permission before they sit in my house.
Yeah, and obviously, not only that, but they'd be able to make secret.
Yeah.
Well, can we clarify this simply by adding to that 14.8? Language to the effect that consent has to be obtained for the installation in any private dwelling or place before.
Well, I think you ought to ask a more basic question. Why do you have this section at all?
Lucky Louisiana's door and saying we're going to.
This warrant, they must have the permission of the owner if he is not a person who would otherwise be subject to a search warrant.
Boy, that's pretty broad.
Well, that's not very articulate, but basically the concept that this person is not under suspicion.
That's right. Well, let me...
You have no probable cause to suspect him of any crime. And if you're saying you can essentially bug his house.
You have to get his permission in order to do it.
How do you tap the telephone? Do you have to go there and do
you? No.
Well, shouldn't the phone
company? Can't you pick it up outside?
You can tap it at the main office of
Pacific North. You can do it on the line.
The eavesdropping.
The eavesdropping thing. Do you have to be in the interior of the...
Should the police be allowed to bust into the phone company and go down? Suppose they can tap it in the phone company.
May I ask a basic question, put it a little more basically, why do you need this at all? Why do you need this subsection 8 at all? Doesn't it really put the courts in a morally indefensible position? Now, what the police do on their own, if there isn't any provision like this, is the police business. If they want to trespass secretly on somebody's office to plant a bug or a microphone, there's nothing in here that says they can't use the evidence later. The remedy that the owner has is in criminal trespass or in civil trespass. Why should we expose the courts to the public contumely, which they will get,
doesn't this cover the situation? Supposing I know this house is a place where criminal activity is going on.
You can't otherwise be doing.
And the way to find out is to bug it. And that's what this is, and I think that's
okay,
legitimate.
So you go ahead and bug it.
What?
Why do you have to tell the court that it's all right to break the law? Why do you say to the court, tell me it's okay to break the law?
Eavesdropping, wouldn't it?
Well, that's true, but he's also authorizing directly the trespass.
George, what you want to
the
guy?
You ought to either give the police authority to do it within the confines of the law, or they shouldn't have authority to do it, period.
But it's not within the confines of the law because you've authorized this. It's clearly outside the confines of the criminal trespass statute.
George, you're
you can't authorize a legal violation of a criminal law.
Well, you're resurrecting your earlier argument.
You do that with a search warrant, because I sense that there's some
supposing we were to say express authorization to make a secret entry on upon a private place or premises of the person being investigated or under suspicion. Then that would be limited.
But you got to have this, right?
Nobody heard that except me.
I'll go for that.
Tony?
What do you mean by that? Wouldn't you have to relate it to the same wording you have in subsection 5 of 11 to say it's either listed in his name or leased to him or commonly used by him?
You say you just let him do it.
Well,
you wouldn't let the court authorize.
This would sound in the place or premises of the person being investigated or under suspicion.
But does that mean owned, occupied?
Well, it'd be the same thing as the other.
Don't you think? Well, I think that the police should be on the outside of the law.
It doesn't seem to me there might be a circumstance where you may want to authorize.
Well, then,
for example, suppose the telephone company
would want to go out. I'd take 8 out entirely.
Yeah, but
play it by practicalities. And at least keep the judge from aiding and abetting the commission.
It isn't unlawful for them to cooperate, we decided this morning.
How about spelling down the judge and issuing the warrant must expressly provide what premises may be entered?
Well, that's already in the nation, location, the communications facilities, as to which are the place where authority to intercept is granted.
My thought is that most judges aren't going to grant a warrant for me to go bug Harold House's house.
Harold House's house.
I'm part time too.
But on a duplex situation, I have a lot of judges way. It would. They'd say, this is a duplex situation. It's so damn easy. You just go right next door and you bang it on the side of the wall.
With the judge.
Without
I have enough confidence, and the judge would say, all right, I'm going to issue this warrant subject to this condition that you must advise the owner and get his consent to it.
You also have another restriction. The warrant must be executed in such a manner as to not get other communications,
But the only thing is, Harold, there may be a situation where the judge might be warranted in granting the warrant to let him go in and do it without your passive vote.
But you got the big basic.
And I'm thinking about it. Suppose the telephone. Suppose I'm trying to investigate a price fixing conspiracy.
Got it?
Pardon my
language. Yeah. Pardon mine. I don't know how that was shown on the record.
Well, I am tired, Dave. I think I might leave.
Well, would it make any... Would it make you happier if we deleted the word secret?
No, you want to make secret.
That seems to be the main objection, though. No.
But if you eliminate it, you wouldn't want any possibility they would do it secret.
Oh, well, they're going to do, in some cases, what they think is best.
Why don't we ask the police to come violate?
Yes,
sir. Now, what if we, my image just went down about 60 points.
Show it. Hey, Carl, show it to your adversary.
All right, it's much better than I expected.
Mr. Paylet.
All right, now supposing we did two things here. Supposing we took out the express authorization for the entry to install or to remove the device, and we added, as part of section 12, under the requirements for the application, similar to what we have under paragraph B, under subsection 2, a description of the type of eavesdropping device to be used and a particular description of the nature and location of the place where it is to be installed, so that the court would be informed not only of the location from where the facility or where the interception is going to be made, but the court would then be apprised of the kind of device that they intend to use, and also the place where they're going to put it. So if they're going to have to put it in some place other than the description that they have included in this application, the court would be aware of this, and this would, I think, the court...
I might go a little bit further and say, and if it is going to be installed with the permission of the owner of the premises.
Well, now, John, did you have specific language?
Well, yeah, I've got some rough language I wrote out here. I put...
And then it'd be a matter of judicial discretion, notwithstanding the fact that it'd be an illegal act.
We would delete the offensive provisions, or at least the provisions that George objected to, and put in, as part of the requirements that would go into the application, a description of the type of eavesdropping device to be used, and a particular description of the nature and location of the place where it is to be installed, so that in acting upon the application, the court would be aware of whether or not you're going to have to go into Unit A in the Sunset Motel to bug B, you know, whatever it has to be. What would you think of that, George?
Well, I would add the proviso.
Not much.
I haven't got the tools.
I would like to add the proviso that, and if he either has or intends to permission of the person
on
the premises.
Well, or Noel, let me add this thought. The permission of the occupant of the premises in which the device is to be installed, or reasons why securing of that permission would jeopardize the validity of the investigation.
Okay.
In other words, so that if you're going to put it on A's premises to bug B's duplex, either get A's permission or show particular facts why attempting to get A's permission would blow the cover. Seems to me that would provide some safeguard.
Yeah.
Carl,
I have a motion.
Well, is it relative to what Donna said?
Yeah. I move to delete subsection 8. That'll crystallize the issue.
Delete what now?
Subsection 8 or subsection 14.
court only, we can go on the one that John suggested.
The only other motion I would make that the only express authorization to be made would be, I just leave it the way it is. That, as I understand it, we remove subsection 8, and in order for a law enforcement official to enter the premises, it would have to be with the consent of the owner of the premises.
Well, I think what Don is saying was that the criteria would have to be set out as in section 12, and I would tend to agree.
This would go along with what Harold said.
Yeah.
No problem. Yes.
Right.
But to take out 8, but also to make sure that the court knows in this application what is going to have to take place in order to accomplish this eavesdropping, and if the court feels that this is going to involve too much trespass or interfering too much in some innocent person's privacy, then the court could take that into consideration in evaluating whether or not the warrant ought to be granted, I would think.
Well, let's take it one at a time then.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah. All right.
The present law, can law enforcement officials do that? Can they enter upon the private premises of an individual without in a secret manner, install a bugging device, and take that information and be admissible in evidence?
Well, there's nothing expressly in the statutes now that would authorize it in so many words, but there's nothing that prevents it that I'm aware of. Is there, Roger?
No, but
I don't think a lot of consideration is given on sub 8 to the problem that you've raised. I think sub 8 is what they have in mind is private place or premises directly connected with the party being investigated.
There's an interesting
his office or his home, his motel room that he uses on weekends, that sort of thing.
It's an interesting.
That's kind of an extension of the search warrant.
Offices. That's where it's done.
If you do this, then you don't have to put the express authorization in that warrant because the court's going to know when it rules on the application.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend the Haas motion.
So it gives the court a chance to put itself out of that invisible position.
In this and section 12, appropriate language as articulated by project director and myself.
All right.
You
want a division of the vote, or are you willing to just
question?
All right.
Yeah. Whatever he said was.
Now that you were still working on that TriMet opinion. Back. All right. Is there any?
It's not debatable.
Question.
Was that your bill? Yeah.
My bill?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The question is, we will amend section 14 by deleting sub 8, and we will amend section 12 by including a new subsection following subsection B to embrace the language recited by Mr. Collette and Judge Burke.
Whatever.
Can we hear that language?
Well, no, that's not
funny.
Rich,
you're always stuck.
Well,
Don's forgotten, and I'd like to hear it.
Can we make a policy decision on the change and then approve the language?
Let's vote first. That's about what we voted on.
All right, let's hear it.
Now, my suggestion was, as far as the language is concerned, was to put it in the 12, presumably under paragraph B someplace. A description of the type of eavesdropping device to be used and a particular description of the nature and location of the place where the eavesdropping device is to be installed, and then in accordance with Mr. Johnson's suggestion, whether permission has been obtained
Burns was the modifier,
or reasons why permission cannot be obtained.
Would that then encompass if I court then could judicially authorize the secret invasion of private premises of individuals not involved in the investigation. Mm-hmm. If there was not good reason.
If
good reason exists, if probable cause, then the court could, if it were in the
Probably get that liberal blood rolling.
Now, we have that in two places, though. We have them authorized to go in and install it and to go in and take it out. We'll have to remove both of those.
Now, is amendment clear?
Why don't we segregate the votes yet?
Yeah.
All right. We'll ask for a division vote. First vote will be on Representative Austin's amendment to delete
Well, now, wait a minute, though. Don't we have to, we still eliminate that language in 8, don't we? Or do we? No.
Yeah, you take out 7-8. But let's divide the question. All in favor of deleting sub 8 from section 14, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Has carried.
All into adjourn.
I think we're going.
Oh, then under section 15, the last sentence under subsection 2, entry to remove it. I think that ought to come out too.
So moved.
All right. All in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Now let's go back to 12. All in favor of the.
Hey, let Johnson.
Roll call. Say aye, change, call those opposed. No, Kirk, call the roll.
Judge Burns.
Aye.
Senator Burns.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Frost.
Aye.
Haas.
No.
That's obstructing governmental justice.
Johnson.
Aye.
Knight.
Aye.
Young.
No.
Well, there's one.
Four.
Motion. Yeah. Has to go out and live with the folks. So.
For one of the majority, the vote has.
I would move to reinstate then section 8 of section 14. I think we did it.
Question.
I voted in favor of removing that.
All right.
If you leave it alone the way it is, it puts it squarely within the court's discretion. Without this, what I think is an offensive, morally indefensible statement in the law.
You're getting very emotional.
Oh boy.
I don't think you need Section 8, and I think you ought to go by your head. I think you're ahead now.
Well, I don't know where you're ahead because the judge isn't going to know. And if you take it out, what it means is then that the police, if they're authorized to execute this warrant, are going to do it the way they think is best. That's what's going to happen.
It's more offensive to me to have that happen.
Well, if you're going to do that, though, you authorize them to eavesdrop, then you tell them they can't do it. So many words. You tell them in one breath that they can eavesdrop, and the next breath they can't, because there's no practical way to execute the warrant.
Oh, now, you're assuming that every eavesdrop, they've got to come onto an innocent property to eavesdrop on a guilty property.
They can't even go into his property to do it now.
Can't they get a search warrant?
Well, Mr. Knight has moved to reinstate the deleted parts of section 14 and section 15. Is that right, Frank?
Nullify the whole darn article.
Tell me why again, so that I know.
Well, the reason I thought we could go ahead and delete subsection 8 of 14 and this portion of section 15 was that we would have in it in the earlier section, we have in the language suggested by Don here. But now, it would at least seem to me that unless we put this section back in, that the police are not going to be able even to enter the defendant's home.
Unless they have authorization to do so.
Yeah, and there's no provision under the statutes anywhere to give them authorization. Well, so now we're back in Platt's position.
Well, George says, let them do it secretly if they have to do it. But don't dirty up the courts by making the courts approve of something.
Yeah, but it's illegal evidence.
It's illegal evidence, and it won't be able to use. So there's no sense in
how about one step further? If we adopt this motion, we'll make the
subsequent motion. See, we can't get a compromise on the thing without the subsequent motion. We limit it to the place that's under suspicion.
Which that could be the, that could be the lawyer's office.
We're making the assumption that in order to have...
You're nullifying this whole article by the...
But we're making the basic assumption in order to have a good bug, you've got to trespass, which is erroneous.
But there may be...
And if you have to trespass, then we're getting to the point where theoretically you've gone too far, you shouldn't have what to do. This is what the, what we're talking about right now. If you throw section 8 out with nothing else, if they can bug it without making illegal criminal trespass sanctioned by someone in authority, that's the DA of the court, if they have to make a trespass, they shouldn't be bugging.
Well, I don't know.
Do without it.
What if they go ahead and bug it? Say we throw it out.
You put the bug in his phone line that runs out to the pole.
Right.
It's not
but what if it's not a telephone conversation you're trying to bug? Let me ask this question.
It's a detective phone.
We throw Section 8 out, and the police go in, and without any standards contained in the statute, such as were proposed in the motion that was defeated, they go and bug something. Presumably, that's going to be admissible evidence, right?
Presumably, that's what the whole statute is for.
Yeah, but you're assuming that the police automatically, if we passed the Don's suggestion, would follow that. And if the judge says, no, I don't think that's reasonable, the police will say, oh, well, we won't do it.
They shouldn't do it.
Well, they can't legally.
They can't
well,
legally.
Well, all right, that's what we're saying.
No, you're not.
I don't think
you're
so.
You're saying more than that. You're... doing away with the whole buggy.
We're saying you can't come onto my property if you got some guy 5 miles away.
You're also
unless
saying you
have
can't go on
good
that
cause.
5 miles away from property
is under suspicion.
You're that's saying right. That.
Unless you want a search warrant.
Carl, let me ask
no.
Right.
You want right. Bugging. We're right. Talking about bugging. We're talking about search warrants. We're talking about bugging. Right?
I have a question.
Matt Carl.
Frank, if you have, no, as I understand the application that must be made here, because of sensitivity of the area, the application is very stringent in stating why there is good grounds to get the right to bug. Mm-hmm. It's more stringent than a usual search warrant application would be, isn't it? So if you had that kind of evidence to go to for this type of application, you would certainly have it for a search warrant. You could certainly enter the premises to search and to retain a bug.
Yes,
wait a minute, wait a minute, Carl.
Right
no,
there, Carl, right
no,
there.
Wait a minute, because
let me
you got a
just
search
in
for a
we
specific thing.
Search and we're giving you a barn
no,
receipt for it.
Because.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, wait a minute.
You
and the receipt's hidden right next to the.
What
bug.
You're saying here is. I reasonably believe, with a lot of specificity, that Joe the bookie is going to be on the phone tonight placing bets in violation of ORS such and such. That isn't enough for me to go in and search those premises.
Is that enough for a bug?
It's enough for you to...
It's enough for a bug with all the specificity required as to why you can't get it any other way and so forth and so on.
Let's state the case a little bit better.
The bedroom? Is that
I have, the affidavit states that we have reason to believe that there is going to be a meeting at this place to plan a robbery in the hours between 9 and 10. So there's no phone. We can't bug the phone. There's going to be a meeting there. We want to bug that meeting. What are we, under the way you've got it now, we're going to knock on the door. We understand you're having a meeting in here. We'd like to put our bug in.
All right. Let's suppose you have a thing.
Bug out.
Let's suppose you guys think that there's going to be a meeting next door in my house. So you come up and knock on my door and say, we have a search warrant. We have a right. We'll go in and we'll bug your whole house. Deal with you, private citizen, because we think three doors down there might be a meeting.
No.
We'll take
no.
Care of that,
what I am suggesting, you've already taken care of that. What I'm suggesting is we reinstate Section 8 and then we amend Section 8 to make it clear that the only place that can be bugged is the place that's under suspicion. Now, I thought we ought to go further than that, but it's obvious we can't, the committee doesn't go that far, but I think you at least ought to allow them
to bug the place that's under suspicion.
Yeah.
Seems to me.
And if you don't allow them to do that secretly, it's not good.
Well, the whole section isn't any good.
Yeah. If you ask for a search warrant, if you ask for a search warrant,
the whole article is wrong.
You go in and you openly execute the search warrant and say, now here I am, I'm putting the bug on the wall.
Judge, what you're saying is, the theory is that if you can bug without violating the enclosure, the privacy of the person involved as far as his physical enclosure, then fine.
That's a Silverman case.
That's the first question we're talking about right now.
The Spike Mike
case? The second question is, then, if we reinstate the language John talks about, is can you then violate the privacy of the person who is directly involved by physically, without his consent, invading his physical enclosure, placing the bug, and then doing it? The third question, if what section 8 back in the way it was before is, can you violate the privacy of some third person not involved in order to place a bug in order to catch the other guy? That's the three questions.
Well, I think that's a very accurate statement. What I'm suggesting is...
So philosophically, we're talking about whether bugging...
The third alternative, we have... I don't think any question, you voted that down.
Well, I'll go on with George's statement, and that is that we're talking about an area far on the outskirts of the rights of privacy. We're almost at the point of being inviolate. And should we then, Frank, have your moment? Should we go to the point where we're going to say that together with the right to invade privacy... Together with the right of
there ain't no right of privacy, those don't belong to you, they belong to all of us.
Okay, Dave.
We're trying to say, together with the right to invade his private communications, which is on the outside of the primitive law, should we also have the right, together with that, to invade his privacy of his enclosure? And that's where I get a little problem with that. I'll go along with, in some cases, for organized crime and the things we've heard about, invade his communications, fine. I can see a real problem there. But if you add to that the added burden of invading his home, then I get a little upset about it. And that's why I'm in favor of putting Section 8 out altogether and putting no other language in.
So they can bug his telephone wires as long as they bug him outside his home, but they can't put a spike...
device or whatever has to be done.
But they can't put a spike mic in the wall like they did in the Silverman case to overhear a conversation inside the home, right?
Right. Unless you can do it from a neighbor's wall with his consent. I'm talking about the invasion of the physical privacy of the person under suspicion.
Now,
well, I would suspect that...
Well, you didn't put a spike mic into his wall.
As long as you didn't penetrate privacy. The...
I would suspect that 95% of the federal bugging that's done is done inside the premises because these are things that aren't done by telephone.
You got to remember, it wasn't done in the Katz case, and Katz is the thing that opened up all this the opportunity to enact statutes. There wasn't any trespassing at all involved. The private home, the office, nothing. It was a telephone booth. There wasn't any spike mic or anything else. It was just this thing stuck up on top of that booth. And on that factual pattern, I think you're extending far beyond the area.
Well, I think there's a definite philosophic difference here, and I think you stated it very, very well, Dave. Point is, you would extend your beliefs to permit invasion of the privacy of communication, but you would not permit the means to that to include invasion of his home or the enclosure, right?
Right.
Okay, well, let's take a vote philosophically then on those who would agree with the concise statement that he's made. All in favor of that concept, just raise your hand, just so we can see.
On what concept? On what side?
You can't
don't invade
your house under any circumstances, nor his office, or any other enclosure.
Okay. All right.
You can't bug in the enclosure.
You can't break the clothes as us
guys. Right. You've got the
it's a business.
Why is it a
corporate
okay.
Mr. Chairman, it's apparent to me that we're
hung
on a swivel here and we can't move off a dead center. And it occurs to me that I can't conceive that we go ahead and consider the rest of it without this one section.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll strike the article.
So,
Jim, let's go on record as favoring organized crime. I think.
Mr. Chairman,
think our big brother.
Right, Snoop.
1980,
Chairman. All right, line up your finger, get registered, get licensed.
So we're almost evenly divided. We don't have a full committee here. I think it's a ridiculous debate because we're obviously going to have to go all through it again.
Well, we're going to be tied up. The chairman will be back in a few minutes and we'll delay.
I honestly don't know which way he's going to go.
Can I ask again? I didn't know if I got a good answer on it, but if we went the route that the prosecutor here would have us, would there be allowance to bug attorney's offices and to get information?
No, I'm part of the back here.
In fact, the Burger King later,
you have to put that in there.
He's dropping of an attorney's office.
Well, is that in our...
A statement that the communications are not otherwise legally privileged. That has to go into your application. And you've got to swear to that when you ask the judge for the warrant.
That's in 12,
Don. That's in 12. Yeah.
All right. Well, now, why don't we not consider Frank's motion until Tony comes back? It's going to hang up. And if it's a 13-member commission and their data is here, I don't really think that it's fair.
It's stupid because somebody's going to raise it again next meeting when we get enough membership.
Why don't we take a 5-minute recess and they'll be back.
Would you like to try the 30-day
period? Where's Tony?
The committee adopted a policy position that we will permit eavesdropping on the premises that is under suspicion. Eavesdropping will not be the warrant would not extend to allow the correction of eavesdropping onto the premises that is not under suspicion without the permission of the land.
Isn't that the question that I was brought up here to vote on?
Well, we've gone around a lot of circles since then, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I might point out that the premises that are under suspicion be somewhat misleading because it's a person that's under suspicion, and the premises that he uses would therefore be under suspicion, and those premises might very well not be his. So you're going to end up with the same problem.
All right, I could draw that. I guess it would be where there is probable cause that a crime is going to be committed, or that evidence.
May I suggest that you word your motion in terms contained in 11 sub 5. The facilities from which or the place where the communications are to be intercepted are being used or about to be used in connection with the commission offense or at least two listed in the name of or commonly used by the described person.
What is this? 14-8, right?
Yeah.
All right. All right. I move that we adopt as a policy express authorization to make a secret entry upon a private place or premises to install an eavesdropping device would be allowed, subject to all the other conditions, upon probable cause to believe that the facilities in which or the place where the communications are to be intercepted are being used or are about to be used in connection with the commission of the offense or are at least to be listed in the name or commonly used by the described person.
All right. Okay. You want to put that as part of the motion that we adopt that as a policy?
Hold on. This motion alone, some are reluctant because we may not amend it.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I think that in all fairness, we ought to wait till Wally gets back.
Dave very accurately stated the issues that are before.
Very well.
There are three alternatives. One is that we do not allow any eavesdropping upon the premises, period.
We don't allow any entry upon private...
Which would, in effect, mean that about the only thing you can intercept would be phone conversation. Two, that we allow entry upon premises the circumstances I stated. Or three, we would allow, in addition, we would allow entry upon premises that are not essentially under suspicion or the persons are not
question I'm putting is number two.
Well, I think by the amendment suggested by Mr. Johnson, we're going to have exactly the same thing we have now.
You mean now, you mean what? You mean the present state of the law or the...
We are perhaps adding some language.
We want the language clear to make sure that is the condition.
But that's still going to allow secret entry onto the premises of another to eavesdrop on a designated person, which is exactly what we allow now under this draft. It doesn't change that.
Yeah, except that this draft left open the possibility that you could go into Harl's house to bug me.
I believe under the amendment you still could, because what we're doing is we're...
Well, I'm just suggesting a policy decision here, and if it's adopted, we want the staff to draft appropriate language to make sure that that limitation...
Well, you couldn't do it anyway because the language says least two listed name over commonly used, and Harrow wouldn't commonly use Frank's place, and it wouldn't be listed on and it wouldn't be listed in his name.
Sure, but if Harold did commonly use Frank's house,
then you could go in Frank's house.
Then you could go in Frank's house.
Actually, I don't understand. This story, this subsection 5 really isn't that there now?
Well, it's almost, at least it opens to some question.
All right, let's get the language.
All right, my motion is adopted.
You withdraw your motion, or do you want
to... Well, I'll leave my motion, and the purpose of the motion, if it's adopted, is to direct the staff and make clear that is the condition under which the warrant is issued.
Okay, Don.
All right, now,
I think...
You tied up about three times.
It seems to me we can do this and accomplish what Mr. Johnson is suggesting and be less offensive about it insofar as what we say in the statute, and I suppose this is a devious way of going about it. George Platt, I think, had a good objection to what we've got in here, that we are in effect saying, well, the court's putting a stamp of approval to make an illegal entry, which is really no big revelation, because that's what happens under a search warrant now. You authorize a trespass to search a place. But in order to avoid that criticism and to take the court out of saying right in the warrant, you can go ahead and enter up on X premises, it seems to me we can get to it by the requirements that we put in section 11 when issuable, limiting the kind of premises or the ownership of the premises or the use of the premises that you can enter upon, that is to people who are under suspicion, and to not allow entry upon the premises of anybody else.
Without permission,
right. And not put it in our sub 8 where it's going to be sticking out there like a sore thumb. And
you say don't put it under 8.
Don't put it under 8.
In fact, if we adopt this motion, we're directing them to redraft the provisions.
Well, and put it under 12, too, under the application requirements, a statement in there as to the nature and location of where the device is going to be installed, the kind of device that's going to be installed, and a statement that no other person other than X or Joe Doe, who is under surveillance, the property of no other person is going to be entered upon or without permission, or worse to that effect. But the court will be informed. Now, this is going to limit it, but it is going to, I think, get to the objection that Dave Frost brought up.
It gets to one objection.
Well, it gets to the innocent individual.
Innocent individual, we still have the problem, and I think that from your you're on the outer limits of the right of invasion of privacy in my mind to intercept communication. If you then tie to that the right also to have a criminal trespass upon premises, even if the person was being bugged, that also offends me. So I would go to the third step of saying intercept his communications if you can under warrant, but only if you can do so without the added problem of also invading his right of privacy physically. Now, you're taking care of one of my problems now, the only one of them. There's one left to go.
But that drawing seems to me that's drawing an artificial distinction between a physical trespass and a non-physical trespass.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing that it seems to me it's more offensive to listen to what a man says than it is to go into his property and put the device there.
No, if you can,
well, he's got something
to justify a search warrant along with this.
Right.
Under our present...
Yeah.
why don't we vote on the policy?
Vote on the issue.
On the policy question that's been placed by Lee, and then leave it up to the staff to work out the specific language. We're going to be hung up on it internally, it seems to me, unless we vote.
Could we have the policy question framed in terms of whether or not we would delete this sub 8 and get that expression out?
Well, leave that to the staff.
Leave that to you.
These two fellows have
it's
both
implied.
I have one question.
Well,
Carl, question for Don. For benefit of Wally, let's have Lee restate his policy question, and you can ask
him. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the state that you stay on the
page. My following question, I'm moving that we allow a warrant to eavesdrop.
To limit the issuance of a warrant to eavesdrop only to the premises of the person under suspicion or being investigated. In essence, that's it.
Well, no, upon probable, well, use this language of 5. Take this language of sub 5 of section 11, it gets pretty well stated. Upon probable cause to believe that the facilities in which or the place where the communications are to be intercepted are being used or about to be used in connection with the commission of the offense, or are leased to, listed in the name of, or commonly used by the described person, the person that's under surveillance.
And in there, we could insert the place where the eavesdropping device is to be installed.
Let's not talk about
it. Well,
we're just saying that that's what they could do.
Carl.
Well, that's Don's mission is several times, and that's why the flood word on the know that and I'm not sure there's a difference between what you're saying, your addition to it, what Lee says. But I'm prepared to vote now on the basis that we're going to limit that the warrant will only issue for the eavesdropping to occur on the premises
of the person under suspicion.
As falls under section 11, sub 5.
Right. Yeah. The premises being used by the person under suspicion, whether they're his actual freehold or whether they're a hotel room.
Well, it really, it says in connection about to be used or being used in connection with the commission of the offense, or are the person belong to the person who's under surveillance, what it really says, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or question. And then provide for the probation situation where you've got permission of somebody else.
Right. Okay, the question is Lee Johnson's policy to seek a quick motion.
Don't put it that way, I'm not prepared to vote for it.
All in favor say aye as your name is called, and those opposed no.
Judge Burns?
Aye.
Senderman?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Frost?
No.
Haas?
Aye.
We never needed you, Tony.
Chubb?
Aye.
Nye?
Aye.
Young?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Why did you need me to break the poll? How many times
you
vote on this?
You can't understand the power of your presence, Your Honor.
I don't think that was any
percent,
I'll tell you.
What'd he say?
It's a good start card.
Yeah, right. I got one way to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Section 15. I read that one, and that's a dandy.
Now, you're going to want to take the last sentence out of subsection 2 out of there, I would assume.
We took it out already.
Okay.
Well,
why can we not leave that language in, bearing in mind that
that if they couldn't have put it there, they can't go take it from it.
Yeah.
In other words, if they can go there and take it from it, they should be able to go take it out.
In other words, assuming that they put the device on premises authorized by the language of the section and authorized by the court, it seems to be certainly ought to be able to go get it.
Well, I know, but if what we're concerned about is the physical trespass on the premise, you've still got as much of a trespass here as you do when you put it on.
Yeah, but I'm sure even Harl would agree that if it was was all right to go into his innocent bedroom to put the bugging device, you could just assume that you come back in and take the bugging device out of his innocent bedroom as soon as possible.
You see any harm in leaving it there?
Cut that bug out of there.
Oh, no.
Bug out.
I think it ought to come out. If we're going to say that we're not going to expressly authorize entry in the first instance, why expressly authorize it in the second instance?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we are going to.
The sentence before, I think.
No, because sub A is going to come out.
In this particular.
You're drafting.
Well, I'll move to delete it.
But I think it's already been in the picture.
All right, you've heard the motion. Do you all understand it?
What's the motion?
Adopt the section?
No.
To delete last sentence from sub 2 of section 15.
Last sentence from sub 2 of section 15.
So let's get it.
Isn't there a problem though? This is my understanding. The theory is that they entered it, and they're basically entering under a warrant, probably. Are they entering under a warrant and they're taking it out?
Well, sure. I think they've got as much right here one way or the other, but I'm just talking about the kind of objections that were raised to the express language.
Question.
All those in favor of deleting the last sentence of sub 2 of section 15, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried.
No.
Should I approve 15 as amended?
Yeah.
We haven't moved any of them, have we?
Not since
14.
Yeah. All right, section 16, Roger.
Yeah. Section 16 covers application for an order of extension. Any time before the expiration of an eavesdropping warrant, the district attorney may apply to the issuing judge, or if he's unavailable, to another judge for an order of extension. And that application shall conform with the provision of section 12, and in addition, shall contain a statement giving the results of the eavesdropping already conducted, or a reasonable explanation of the failure to obtain any results. Sections 11 and 13 are applicable in the determination of the application for an order of extension. The period of extension shall be no longer than the judge considers necessary to achieve the purposes for which it is granted, and in no event longer than 30 days. And the order itself shall be formed to section 14, and it will be executed in the same manner as an eavesdropping warrant.
All right, find something wrong with that.
Yeah, I find something wrong with it right away. And that is that this would give you perpetual, anytime you, on the 29th day, you come back in and get another 30 days. And I have real doubt about that as a policy question, because we were talking earlier, when Professor Platt brought it up, about the 30-day outer limit. I don't know if there's any magic in 30 or 45 or 60 days, but this would permit merely upon the original application continued wiretapping continuously. And I have real policy questions in my mind about the wisdom of that.
Yes, this is directed at long-term organized crime investigations. It may not be terribly applicable to Oregon, but some of these investigations in the past have continued for 2 or 3 years.
Well, it'll be for no longer period than the judge considers necessary.
Well, but look, all you have to do to get it is shall contain a statement setting forth the results of the eavesdropping already conducted, or a reasonable explanation of the failure to obtain any results. Judge, I haven't got anything yet.
No, it also conforms to all provisions of section 12. You've got to start over from scratch again.
But well, in addition, you've got to have
your alternative would be to cut it off one day and come in again.
You could, in effect, do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't allow an extension, what you do is stop it and then come in for one day and come in then.
Well, listen, Harold Haas, it's getting pretty juicy. I want to hear more.
Harold Haas.
And page 281 of the federal law, that
police is.
Where this is derived from.
You mean to tell me that I can't go into Harrell House's and thug it? I do a picture of House off. He got all screwed up. That's funny, man.
I think it's how would you say, in other words, that you gotta show the conditions of immediacy and so forth and so on each time anew? Why not just make him come in and start over again?
I move we delete section 16.
Just to put the thing at issue, I would move we strike section 16 in its entirety.
Well, Con?
I don't think that your law enforcement people would be in any worse position by taking it out, because what they're going to have to do is, in effect, start over anyway. Because all the requirements are the same, and you might as well just have them start brand new.
Well, they would be in this regard. If you had a secret entry, you're going to have to require them to go in and take that bug out and then come in again and start over from scratch. And you're going to have that much more danger of revealing.
The only additional thing is Section 12 requires that you state how many times in the past this type of warrant's been issued to the same person. That means not number two.
Would it satisfy you, Judge, if it also had in there a statement concerning why the continuing it for another 30 days or 15 days would probably bring some results, and language to that effect?
Well, you're poking your harp already.
You have to have that to conform to Section 12 anyway.
Yeah.
Of course, if your cops have their eavesdropping device installed, they're only required to remove it under Section 15 as soon as practicable. So it isn't practical. You have to remove it. So they start over again and ask for it.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't need to make an entry. They already got it in there.
But here again, you're making the police do something that tinges of this invasion of privacy, rather than let them do it under authority of the law. Well, my argument is that you've got to let them do it under the law, or they shouldn't.
Yeah, but isn't one way to get around this? Is your time running out? Do you want to do
it? Well, sure, you can get around it, but why not get around it by specific statute authorizing you to do it if it's reasonable that they do it more than 30 days?
Yeah,
make the decision either they shouldn't do it more than 30 days or give them lawful authority to do it in a reasonable manner.
Yeah, but don't get around it by having a perpetual authority.
Would you consider perpetual authority if the court every 30 days has an opportunity to rule on whether it should continue?
Well,
that doesn't seem like perpetual authority to me.
Are you ready for the question? Call or roll.
To eliminate Section 16?
Yeah.
I want to vote aye.
Your name hasn't been called yet.
Judge Burns.
Aye.
Sandra Burns.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Frost.
Aye.
Haas.
Goddamn wise ass.
Johnson.
Aye.
It's your turn.
Knight.
No.
Young.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
No.
Mr. Chairman, I just want the record to show that I sure appreciate Representative Frost amending my motion.
Section 17.
Progress reports and notice. An eavesdropping warrant may require that intermittent reports be made to the issuing judge at such intervals as he may order, showing what progress has been made and the need for continued eavesdropping. Immediately upon expiration of the period of an eavesdropping warrant, the recordings made under subsection 3 of section 15 shall be made available to the issuing judge and sealed under his direction. Except as otherwise provided in subsection 6 of this section, within a reasonable time, but no later than 90 days after termination of the warrant, or expiration of an extension order, but that will be out.
Okay, well that gives a reason for the necessity.
Written notice shall be personally served upon the persons named in the warrant and upon any other party to the intercepted communication the judge determines should be notified in the interest of justice. And that written notice shall include notice of the fact and date of the issuance of the warrant, the period of time covered by the eavesdropping, and notice whether the communications were or were not intercepted. Subsection 5, the judge, upon the filing of a motion by a person named with notice of authorized eavesdropping, served with notice, may, in his discretion, make available to that person or his counsel for inspection portions of the intercepted communications or applications and warrants. On a showing of exigent circumstances to the issuing judge, the service of notice required by subsection 3 may be postponed by order of the judge for a reasonable period of time. Renewals of an order of postponement may be obtained on a new showing of exigent circumstances.
What if no warrant issues? And there's no notice of anybody even takes or just...
There's no tape.
There's no warrant there.
Maybe it takes.
Exigent.
Yeah. Exigent.
Exigent.
What's the word?
Exigent.
Exigent or exigent?
Exigent.
Exigent.
Coming on big today, I noticed.
Well, this would be one of the reasons after the continuation, the extension of the warrant.
That's exactly what I think.
To run until after the extensions are all over. Whereas this way, if they have to apply for a new warrant each time, then 90 days after the termination of it, then.
Unless you can show reason why not, otherwise.
Well, of course, if you get a new warrant, then you get a new 90-day period.
Sure.
But your one warrant...
You still have notified.
Yeah,
day,
but you still got
no,
to give notice
you
that
show reason why you don't have
90 days ago, we had a warrant, we had a tap running on you.
Yeah, but all you have to do is show the court why it would be unadvisable to do otherwise.
Yeah, because the court can postpone the giving of the notice.
John?
Yes.
Okay. Subsection 3, Section 17. I would move that we strike the words or expiration of an extension order. Since we've already been called to the city, there will not be such an order.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carry.
May I ask a question, too?
Sure you can.
Really kind of hate to do this. But Roger, no place in here do we designate the quality of the crime which you can use to
We discussed that this morning. We're going to reserve that until we finish and grade the crime.
Like breakfast meeting with
treason. The federal statute sets out certain things that it can be important, not others. So it's got to be
within the... We don't think wearing white tennis shoes is a crime for which you could use buggy.
Skipping out on a legal
thing. Can I ask a question? What happens
if I do this?
It doesn't go under.
I assume, I guess, the judge is just going to be granted the affidavit and reject your case. And the case comes before him for consideration later.
Or what if the... he determines, he makes that determination, he says, well, notify the person under surveillance, too, immediately.
Well, I have suppose the judge hears the tapes, he's done a dirt case, and then the case comes before the trial.
Now a judge takes the consideration hearing.
Yeah.
Why is
there
evidence?
I just
want to learn a little while.
I'm trying to stall a little
bit. There's a little silence in here, and Lisa, are you talking about
it? Well, except for that, what do you think of section 17?
Oh, it's beauty. I'm moving it up.
As amended.
Yeah,
as well, we haven't been adopting the rest of them.
May at his discretion.
He moved it. Call the roll.
No. Mr. Right. Chairman.
I just want to show that.
I am wondering.
You feel like it's stuffy in here, don't you?
I'm wondering why in Section 5. Since the judge in his discretion may make available to that person or his counsel for inspection portions of the intercepted communication, et cetera, et cetera. Shouldn't that be shall the judge strike the discretion shall make?
Why? Other than your fact of being your DA, do you have any other reason?
If you get to the later section, I think you'll find that answer.
Besides, shall is directive in nature.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I want it to be.
Well,
I just think there's
if you go to section 23, John, as I mentioned earlier this morning that you should, I think that problem will be solved.
If the party becomes a defendant, there is a procedure for disclosure.
Notification and provision for suppression hearing and so on.
But section 17 includes persons other than defendants. It includes any party to the intercepted communication.
Doesn't 23
only goes to the warrant. I'm looking to ask for the contents.
Just
well, if you're going to use it against him, then you trigger 23 in the succeeding sections and give him an opportunity to move to suppress it and so on. But as I understand, the purpose of 17 sub 5 is to allow additional authority for non-defendants where the judge feels that they ought to be made aware also.
Well, you certainly jeopardize some investigations if you're forcing them. And that's all it may be, is an investigation.
Section 18.
Look at 18.
It's like, wow.
Well, this is one of the more controversial sections.
I really believe section 18.
That's enough. We've had enough controversy up to now. This going
in today. Emergency authority. All this section 18 says that if a law enforcement officer has reasonable belief grounds exist for an eavesdropping warrant, he may immediately begin an eavesdropping operation so long as within 48 hours he applies to a judge for the warrant, and then if that warrant is denied, he will be considered to have been acting in violation of this article.
Be drawn, quartered.
The first one is the activities you're describing.
Is this in the federal law? They have an original?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I think you have this.
I think it's a dangerous
crime. National security or organized crime?
Organized crime. People is organized.
What we're doing, the name of organized crime.
Mr. Chairman, I do move and delete section 18.
Question.
Explain my rule in advance.
All right,
which subcommittee considered the
motion? I'm going to allow discussion first.
It came out of subcommittee number one, but we did not consider these sections that the commission is considering today because after the original drafts were prepared, this federal bill was passed and preempted this, and we felt that it involved such significant policy considerations and it should go directly to the commission's whole. Is that right, Doug?
That's definitely correct.
All right, I'm going to explain my vote in advance and give another vote to the liberals since we're not going to vote on this until before the primary. But seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that if we go on record as adopting a policy of emergency authority for eavesdropping warrants, then we're not consistent if we don't have emergency authority for search warrants. And you're opening the door. You got a procedure here where you go to the judge to get the judge to okay it, just like you do on a search warrant. What would the difference be between, say, in an emergency situation, we can't go to the judge and get the eavesdropping warrant, we're just going to bug it.
I wouldn't vote against it.
What's the rule of the Senate on time limit? Explaining your vote.
2 minutes.
2 minutes?
2 minutes before the vote.
I'm a former House member.
Call the roll.
I would be monstrous.
Judge Burns.
This is a motion to delete?
Yes.
Aye.
Sandra Burns.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Cross.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Knight.
Aye.
Woo-hoo!
There's a kicker somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, only gets out of this pass is to vote against it.
Mr. Chairman.
I thought you said this was going to be controversial.
Aye.
Don,
do
you have
more
speeches? Section 19.
Well, I might note that New York did the same thing with that provision. They deleted it. Section 19 involves the custody of warrants, applications, and recordings. It provides that the warrants shall be sealed by the judge, and that the warrant, together with a copy of the papers on which the application is based, shall be delivered to and retained by the district attorney as authority for the eavesdropping authorized by the warrant. A copy of the warrant, together with all the papers, shall be retained by the issuing judge. And in the event of a denial of an application, a copy of the papers upon which the application is based shall be retained by the judge denying the application. Eavesdropping applications and warrants shall be disclosed only upon a showing of good cause before a judge and shall not be destroyed except on order of the issuing or denying judge, and in any event shall be kept for 10 years.
What if the judge dies?
They rejoice.
Well, you have delivery of season and it passes on.
Why do you have to keep him for 10 years?
He comes out of the federal.
What the federal?
Congress says.
Congress wants 10 years. Is a good figure.
I move we delete it then.
That's right. It shall not be destroyed except upon an order of the issuing or denying judge, and in any event shall be kept for 10 years. Well, Mr. Chairman,
Congress and its wisdom.
Well,
you'd have an appeal situation, in general.
Who seems to appeal?
Well, you've got the situation where that within. I guess they take the figure 10 years because anything involving this defendant and anything found out in this bug should be brought to light. I mean, there's going to be a prosecution on it in 10 years. So you can go back and look to see if this guy's been bugged.
Mr. Chairman, maybe it doesn't make sense in light of the language to amend it to provide it. So it says the issuing or denying judge or his successor.
Yeah. Well, there's an earlier place in the same thing where we had this, and it does use language like that. Here, to the issuing judge or if he is unavailable, to another judge. On the one we deleted, but on the extension. I think we should have his or his successor in there.
Move
all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Aside from that, how are we doing?
Oh, good session.
That's in two.
Judge Burns, do you like further right?
It's in one and two.
Well,
both, right?
Yes, it would be applicable to both subsections.
Yeah.
That first sentence, Roger, under sub 2. Custody of recording shall be wherever the judge orders. Is that right out of the it sounds a little strange.
Yes, it is. I'm certain it is because
it says on page 282, it says custody of the recording shall be wherever the judge orders.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound too
well. I mean, wherever.
I would think it makes sense because it might be necessary to have it retained by the authority.
Yeah, I was questioning the language rather than the intent.
I see. Carl House's house.
Whatever.
All right, section 20.
Well, there's the judicial conference. Is that the final definition of term?
Yeah, section 20 requires reports to the administrative office of the United States courts and the judicial conference.
Who's the judicial conference? The capital.
This doesn't go into much detail, but on page 284 of the federal law, let's see, section 2519 goes into detail on who the report to be made to and what it has to contain.
Well, who is the judicial conference?
It's a federal judicial conference.
Well, I'm just really, you know, it seems to me that's very good draftsmanship to an idea. Judicial conference with a small j and a small c. Then.
Is this required by federal law in the states?
Where is
yes.
This?
Seems a lot of
yeah, even, even if I submit, if I sign a wiretap here,
where is it?
Under the federal law now, I mean, even though it's presented by state authorities, I still have to send them to the briefing.
Well, we'll have
right
to
now,
you do, huh?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be in the statute?
Section, Mr. Chairman, on or the denial of warrant for the emergency.
That shouldn't go on. Yes.
Well, I just wonder, Mr. Chairman, why we really need this.
Yeah.
Because we're required to do it by federal law, and unless you see some necessity for filing a report with some state agency,
I move it deleted.
Right.
The whole section.
Well, question. Is there the possibility that it's not in the state statute that sometimes it's going to be overlooked?
Pretty good possibility.
If it's not there, you know.
Well,
The federals, they sent out all this stuff to all the judges shortly after the act passed, and with the explanation about you got to send in reports and so on, if you start issuing new judgments.
Might be one way of getting a judge in trouble like this. Is there a call for a question?
Question?
What is this? Delete it?
Delete the whole thing. Yeah. Call or roll.
Judge Burns?
No.
Sunderburn?
Aye.
Carson? Frost?
Aye.
Paz?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Nye?
Aye.
Young?
Aye. Come back.
Mr. Chairman?
Smooth as glass.
Section 21. You
Mr. Chairman, can I ask what your intent is with the afternoon?
My intent is to go right along until as far as we can go.
My intent is criminal. What's your
Don?
We can go beyond eavesdropping.
Well, Don, what do you wish? What do you
think so?
I know we can go till we dropped.
No, we should have stopped an hour ago.
Well, the way this
we
is
did.
Well, obviously we're not going to complete our agenda, Mr. Chairman. If we could complete the privacy of communications, at least. And then this abuse of office thing, I don't think will take too much discussion because this was in connection with this conflict of interest section, which there seemed to be quite a feeling that we should delete it anyhow, but we did want to take a look at the Michigan and the federal statutes, which we had circulated to you earlier, and see what you want to do with that one section. If we could get action on that, then we can go ahead with that draft and put it in final form on abuse of public office. And then the other two, narcotics shouldn't present too much difficulty to us in as much as the subcommittee really is following the directive of the commission on that.
Which is just a real quick question.
That's basically what it does.
That sound reasonable?
Yeah. I wonder if we could take up this abuse of office one day because Senator Potts wants to see.
Well, let's go on with 21 then. So we'll let you go. We'll try and get you some candidates.
Section 21, is that where we are?
Yeah.
Okay. 21.
Okay, section 21. Controls the disclosure and use of information and order of amendment. These are two different subjects. Sub 1, a law enforcement officer who has been authorized by this article to obtain knowledge of contents of an intercepted communication may disclose such contents to another law enforcement officer to the extent the disclosure is appropriate for proper performance of official duties. A law enforcement officer who obtained knowledge of contents of intercepted communication may use such information to the extent that its use is appropriate for proper performance of official duties. Sub 3, any person who has obtained information under the authority of this article.
Come out, Roger, why didn't you combine 1 and 2 and just say, may disclose or use such content?
Well, sub 3 just covers any person who's obtained information authorized to authorize eavesdropping and provides that he may disclose the contents or such derivative evidence while giving testimony under oath in a criminal proceeding in any court or in any grand jury proceeding. Provided, however, that the presence of the seal provided for by subsection 2 of section 17 or a satisfactory explanation of his absence shall be a prerequisite for the use or disclosure of the contents of any communication of the evidence. That comes out of the federal
law. I don't understand what that means.
It's the opposite. That's quite the opposite. The seal didn't work.
Well, 17 sub 2 says the recordings shall be made available to the issuing judge and sealed under his directions.
What this is to do is to prevent tampering with the recording during the period of time from it being taken until time it's used in court.
This says also you can't testify as a contact if it's still under seal. Isn't that what the intent is, Roger?
No,
I don't think it says that, but.
No.
Oh, no, it, no, what?
Or derivative evidence?
Right.
It's still under seal.
Court seals, you're not allowed to use it, right?
No.
Oh, no.
What it means is this, is that rather than the. I can't think of any other example, but rather than just having the officer testify. I've heard it before coming into court today. I recall listening to the tape right after it was made, and it is the same. There have been no changes, no tampering. That what this means is as soon as the tape has been made, immediately upon the expiration of the period, this tape is taken to the judge, sealed under his direction. You put the big black seal on it. Okay, then when you bring it into court,